Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The tributes have been pouring in this morning for the journalist, author and campaigner, Nell McCafferty, who's died at the age of 80. And I'm joined firstly on the line by Olivia O'Leary, broadcaster and journalist. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us to talk about this sad news of the passing of Nell. You knew her well, am I right?
I knew her. She used to call me Little Olivia, which I thought was a bit extraordinary coming from Little Nell. And we were very different and from very different backgrounds. But I had enormous admiration for her, Claire. I mean, I was looking at the radio schedule this morning. You know, early on, we have Mary Wilson and Audrey Carville. Then we have you. Then at lunchtime, we have Rachel English. I mean, when I started in RTE, there were very few women on the air in any area that was serious, like politics.
Yeah.
And it was people like Nell, that famous Late Late Show, where she went on with Mary Marr and Mary Holland and Evan Boland, and they just pointed out so many things, like, why have we no female faces on television doing anything serious? So every time I got a chance or a promotion or an opportunity to do something terrific journalistically in my own life, I thanked Nell and Mary Marr and Mary Holland and Evan. But the wonderful thing about Nell was her shock tactics. You know, Nell went in there fighting, and she took no prisoners. And the wonderful thing about her was the extent to which she alerted all of us, opened our eyes, even women, to the lack of women's faces in important positions. I mean, when she wrote that book that she wrote about the awful Kerry Babies case and about the tribunal, that one of the pictures in it, and she describes it particularly, is that all the men around, all the men who were interrogating this young woman about her sexual life and morals, they were all men. There wasn't a woman to be seen. And this tribunal was supposed to be about the Gardaí's handling of the case. It ended up as a sort of a, you know, burning at the stake of a woman. But Nell was the one who could have kept opening our eyes and pointing out the missing women.
Yeah, I think that's I don't mean to cut across you, Olivia, but that really simple skill that she had of just pointing something out. So it would seem now, if we were looking at it, that's really obvious that there were only men in that room. But at the time, there were very few people willing to say it because it wasn't such a glaring issue at the time until somebody like Nell stood up and said, hang on a second, does anybody see the elephant in the room?
Exactly, she did. She did. And it was part of that, you know, terrific down-to-earthness of her background as well, that she just bloody well stood up and said it, you know. She didn't have any middle-class inhibitions. And it was one of the things that made her really effective. And it wasn't just women, though women are very important. It was the series of wonderful columns she did in the Eyes of the Law from the district court. It had never been done before. And the district court was often where, you know, people who didn't have much money pursued various cases, and where very often the poor were the ones who appeared in front of a judge. And she went along and she just reported it. And a lot of us really hadn't known what went on in district courts. And she didn't just report what happened. She reported what the loos were like and how the place smelled and how there was such little respect shown to the people who appeared in front of the judges. And, you know, I remember her reporting on a case of a gang of Hare Krishna people were brought in their robes and their drums and everything to be berated by the judge for wearing those awful clothes and beating their drums and causing a public disturbance. Nell wrote about this and created Mary Hell, and Garrett Fitzgerald, who I think was a minister in government at the time, went to his Taoiseach and said, come here, you know, you can't be bringing Hare Krishna people up because of what they wear and the fact that they bang their drums. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I think it was the last time the Hare Krishnas were pulled into court. But, you know, she had a real feeling for those who had nobody to speak for them.
Well, we have a short clip now of her talking about that time in her life when she was a district court reporter at the Bridewell. This is from 1974, and she spoke to RTE about the column, as you mentioned, In the Eyes of the Law, and the impact that that had made on people.
Well, it has achieved the effect which I think I wanted it to achieve, not to obtain reform in the law courts, which some people thought, but to raise the consciousness of people generally in regard to what's going on down there. I've been running it now for 14 months, 5 days a week, and there's been a cumulative effect of misery, I think, and hopelessness. And I don't find people coming up to me and saying, what can be done? I do find them coming up and saying, there's nothing can be done in the courts themselves. We'll have to change society. I don't speak to justices personally, but I have been given to understand that they have been, in a sense, upset at my recording them day after day in all their majesty. They don't like it particularly when I catch them out, as I sometimes do.
You said earlier, you know, you stood on the shoulders of giants when you were embarking on your career. We stand on your shoulders now, Olivia, and I hope you realise that and you recognise that. But I remember watching Nell back in those appearances on The Late Late Show, for example. They stand out to me. And being slightly, maybe a little more than slightly, terrified of her, because she was a very intimidatory presence at times, wasn't she? She was so forceful.
Oh, she was. And she'd call you out bloody fast. And, I mean, I remember when she got a Jacobs Award for that series of what we'd now call maybe podcasts or whatever, called Good Night Sisters. And she stood up there and she said, okay, she said, the part of me, which is a journalist down here in the South, thanks you very much for this award and recognising the work that I did. The part of me that is a Derry Republican, I'm afraid, gives you a very conditional thanks. Mm. So even in front of that audience who were celebrating her, she wanted to make it clear that she didn't like the regime down here, which, for instance, had Section 31 of the Broadcasting Act, which didn't allow people who supported Sinn Féin to be interviewed, or indeed anybody from Sinn Féin. So she was unapologetic very much about her background and could be tough. But I mean, I think it was John Horgan did a book on Irish reportage and included a piece by Nell, and it was she was writing about Bloody Sunday and how she covered Bloody Sunday. And she said, it'll be for other people who are important, more important than me, to go and write the front page piece about what happened and what the army said and what the Northern Ireland secretary said, da-da-da-da-da. She said, I was lying on the ground with all the other people who were on that march with my face, you know, buried into the tarmac at them or the cobblestones, trying to keep away from the bullets overhead. That's the eye view that I had. And that's perhaps the sort of view that I've always taken as a journalist. I want to be down on the ground. That's where I want to be. That's the thing that I cover. Mm. And it described exactly her sort of journalism. She never really, you know, pandied to authority or believed in being self-important. What she wanted to do was to tell it as it happened on the ground.
Yeah, but that married with the people who were never going to have their faces buried on the ground. You know, she had no fear of those people, of any of them.
No, she didn't. And she called them out. And men were terrified of her, like women were, but men were particularly terrified because you never knew what she was going to say. And she would call people out. And like, she'd grown up on the tough streets of Derry, you know, she'd learned early on. You were handling dynamite always with Nell, because you didn't know what way she was going to go. And yet there was a side of Nell that was extraordinarily soft and affectionate and funny and very quick, you know, to drop the text saying, you know, that was great, or something was unfair there. And, you know, very supportive. And I remember the last time I was out drinking with Nell was down in Kilkenny at the Kilkenny Festival. And her friend, Margaret McCurtain, who was, I think, a lifelong friend and a very close friend of Nell's when Nell became ill and she had her heart condition, you know, when life suddenly became tough, she wasn't able to do what she did before. And Nell coming over with Margaret to say, just as the sing song was starting, hey, we're going home. I said, Mel, you're not going home. And Mel said, Olivia, the ticker doesn't allow me to stay around here drinking drinks and singing songs. I have to go home early. And they both smiled and off they went. And there was a little bit of me that was sad Mel wasn't going to be there. And there was a large part of me that was delighted that she had a loyal friend like Margaret McCartan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Olivia, it's been wonderful to talk to you, and thank you for sharing your memories of Niall McCafferty. That's Olivia O'Leary. I'm also joined by the former Minister for Justice, Nora Owen. Nora, good morning.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very
good
well.
To hear you.
You've been listening to Olivia there.
I have been listening to her
memories.
Olivia herself, a great legend, and still with us. Thank
Indeed.
God.
Yeah.
And you know, a thought has struck me since I heard of Niall's death that there are thousands, if not millions, of younger women, say, under the age of 40, who probably won't have heard very much or even know the name Niall McCafferty, but how much they owe her for raising the issues, which she did raise loudly and very often with great humour, in order to have the issues that needed to be changed in our society changed. I mean, I was thinking of all the things that Niall railed about. And she had a voice you couldn't ignore. You know, she just was impossible to ignore when she got her teeth into an issue. And she was determined to highlight the kind of inequalities. We forget that in the early 70s and 60s, the role of women in society had been kind of decided with the Constitution, and they were at home, they were minding their children, they couldn't even draw the children's allowance, they had to give up their job once they were in the civil service. There were several things that it was like as if we were a different sector of the society and we weren't entitled to have any of the rights that, you know, at that stage that men were allowed to have. And Niall was the voice that I remember in my ear. I remember as a newly married woman, I got married in 1968, going to a meeting in the Onoiga Hostel on Moorhampton Road with my sister Mary Bonatti, who had come back from Rome, sadly, with her daughter and a broken marriage. And sitting around the table, Mary said to me, come to this meeting, it's the Women's Lib Movement. And I'm there saying, well, I don't know whether I need the Women's Lib Movement. You know, I'm a young married woman and I'm perfectly happy. But I went to the meeting. And it was, Claire, it was an eye-opener. Sitting around the table were people both suffering from and advocating all the different things that women suffered then. Deserted wives, what they referred to as an awful term, battered wives, domestic violence wives, single women who weren't married, women who'd lost their jobs in the civil service, a whole range of inequalities. And Niall was there in the middle of it saying, we're going to do something about this. And by golly, she did.
Mm-hmm. But she was often a thorn in the side of government in those years.
She was. I often felt kind of guilty when I was in politics that, you know, you'd be kind of afraid to meet her in case she'd kind of have a go at you, which she would. But I went to a number of those lectures that Sister Margaret McCartan, Olivia mentioned Margaret, Sister Margaret McCartan ran in UCD, and she would usually have Niall on the platform. And Niall would bring up the difficult issues, but she also was very, very funny. So you had a nice gas evening when she was there, because she would not make fun of the issues, but she had a way of putting them forward that you could feel yourself, yes, I want to do something about this, and going back then into the Dáil and getting these issues discussed and getting some changes. And of course, we were lucky too that we had joined the EEC in 1972. So whether we liked it or not as a country, the issues Niall was raising were going to have to be changed by us if we wanted to be good members of the EEC.
Yeah, but,
and so many new laws came in.
Despite that, she certainly wasn't pushing an open door back in those days. It was
a very tough battle. The door was locked. It was closed, it was locked and sealed. It just wasn't opening. And it took lots more organisations to be formed, you know, women's rights movements of all sorts to kind of be established. on the shoulders of Nell, really. Gosh, Nell was a small sized lady, but Nell had big, she had big plans, and she also was ahead of her time, going on the train up north, talking about the contraceptive train, and being sure that you know, men were aware that it wasn't just a matter for women to decide what size the families would be, that they had a role as well. And there would have been lots of men who supported Nell as well, feminist men, as you would call them, that would do that. And she had a wonderful relationship with Nuala O'Fallon, which lasted many years and obviously gave her great happiness and then huge sadness when it was over. And I worked at the time in the pharmaceutical industry, and a number, for some reason, of our staff were from Derry, and they often talked about Nell. I see Nell was a voice up in the north as well as being a very strong voice in the south.
Of course.
And she was definitely a leader in many, many ways. And I regret very much that she has died. And being in that kind of category of age myself, you know, you look back and say, well, she did some good for our country, and she did great good for the women of this country.
She certainly did. And Nora, lovely to hear from you this morning as well. And that was a lovely tribute to Nell McCafferty, Nora Owen there, and Olivia O'Leary, who we heard earlier. And we'll hear more about Nell in the next hour of the programme. We're going to talk again about the author and feminist Nell McCafferty, who's died at the age of 80. And I'm joined by Ivana Bacic, Labour Party leader and TD for Dublin Bay South, and also singer Mary Coughlan. But Ivana, I want to start with you, because Nell lived in your constituency for many years. You knew her pretty well, though, over those years, and also your connections in your legal career as well, I know.
That's right, Karen. Thank you for inviting me on the show. I was so saddened and really very sad to hear about the death of Nell this morning. And I do want to first just express my deepest sympathies to her family and to her many, many friends. She was, as you say, a real institution in Ranelagh. Of course, over just the last year and a half, she was back up in Donegal at a nursing home. But she had been so visibly prominent in Ranelagh for so long that we all knew her locally. But of course, I had known her for many years before that, as you say, both in her through her feminist activism and through her powerful writing. And I do think Nell, as a writer, you know, it's hugely important we remember her as a really powerful and influential writer, not only through her work on the Kerry Babies case and that incredible investigative journalism exposing what the awful injustice that had happened there, but also she wrote very powerfully about other spheres of Irish society that needed to be highlighted, to be brought into the open. I'm thinking in particular of her famous book, In the Eyes of the Law, from the early 80s, which when I was a law lecturer, I used to prescribe as reading for my students, because it described day-to-day proceedings in the district court. Nell had been a young journalist writing sort of dispatches from the front line in the district court in the 80s, and published a collection of those. And, you know, to this day, they remain really powerful, just evocations of what goes on daily in the mm-hmm. district court and sort of poverty. And it inspired me to do research on crime and poverty, her writing. But, you know, her feminist work and her feminist activism, of course, also. And, you know, I'm looking back, I did a review of her book, her autobiography, which it's hard to believe was 20 years ago now it came out. But in that review, I noted that, you know, she had made such crucial interventions, notably in the 2002 referendum on abortion, which many people don't recall now, but which was a referendum where the then government sought to restrict abortion even further, to rule out abortion where a woman's life was at risk and because of suicide. And Nell really made a pivotal intervention at a press conference calling on the masters of maternity hospitals to say, as men, how they would deal with women under their care who were pregnant but had the very traumatic experience of a fetal abnormality.
Again, another example of her absolute fearlessness.
Absolutely fearless. And I said that in my tribute today. She was so fearless always. Now, she was tremendous fun too. I mean, I had great fun with her dancing in Lily's Bordello on one very memorable night. And she was when she was celebrating, again, that's a blast from the past for your listeners. But, you know, she was celebrating the advance for her autobiography, as it happens, which is how I can date it. But she absolutely held everyone on the dance floor in her, you know, in awe of her. She had all these much younger people, mostly men, it has to be said, dancing around her in awe. She was just tremendous fun. Great sense of devilment. Not afraid to be contrary. And, you know, we didn't agree on everything. And indeed, you know, she was quite, sometimes quite keen to provoke disagreement and disputation. But she was an incredibly warm and funny and, you know, entertaining character, and, you know, as I say, had very powerful interventions in a whole range of areas, not just through her feminist work, through her activism, through her journalism, through exposing injustice and, you know, the inequity of poverty through her work in the district court as well. So I think, you know, she leaves a tremendous legacy.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the importance of her writing, and it's just so interesting to hear that you said to your students, this is obligatory that you read In the Eyes of the Law, because a few of us here were saying that in very recent years, we read or reread Woman to Blame, her book about the Kerry Babies Inquiry. And it is so stark. It's a very short book. And I'd recommend anyone to read it if they haven't gone back to it in a while. It's available to buy online. But it is still so powerful.
It's so powerful. Her writing was so strong, so clear. I do agree with you. It would be really great, I think, to see In the Eyes of the Law and A Woman to Blame republished. I know it's been hard to get In the Eyes of the Law, and you know, students used to say that to me, and I would say make every effort, and indeed I photocopied excerpts from it, because her writing is just so clear and it's so resonant even today, you know, to remind us of the sort of things that still go on. And indeed in the district courts, you know, it's really an overlooked area in the criminal justice system. And there's still a huge amount of exposure, I think, that should be carried out there in journalistic writing. Mm-hmm. So Nell was unafraid always to expose these things. She wrote about the Kerry babies and the awful injustice that was done to Joanne Hayes and her family. She wrote about that at a time when it was deeply controversial to do so. Again, she was writing against the consensus, if you like, at the time, and she was unafraid to take them on, just as she was unafraid in 2002 to take on the Masters of the Maternity Hospitals. She had this really strong sense of justice that just powered her on. And even though she was actually quite shy at times, you know, sometimes you'd meet her on the street in Ranelagh and she'd be, you know, she wasn't somebody who was very necessarily very extrovert, but she just had this strong passion for justice that really kept her going.
A piercing sense of justice. Mary Coughlan, you're listening to all of that. And if I can bring you in here, I mean, one of the things we really appreciate about her now this morning as we talk about her is somebody who could look at a situation that most of the country accepted, whatever that was, when it came to women's rights and how people were treated in the courts, whatever it might have been, and had the clarity of vision to say, this is not right and somebody has to call it out and I'm brave enough to be that person.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that springs to mind about Nell and listening to Ivana there. All of the times that I've known her for 45 years, Nell, the first time ever I was invited up to do a concert in pub over Beer Street near the Irish Times office, Delir Street there, to raise money for some campaign or other. And the last campaign I did with her was the repeal one, and I was on the stage and she hadn't been invited to speak, which I thought was a bit strange. And I saw her and I was wondering where she was, you know, because we had been together. And I looked at her and she was standing over by the railings. I was on the back of a lorry roaring about something or other. And she was just standing there very quietly with the umbrella in her hand because it was lashing rain. We left her home afterwards. But she, herself and a few other women single-handedly, you know, led us forward. And her fearlessness was the thing that I admired really about her. And mm-hmm. I hope I've done just a little myself, you know, and it would be because of her, you know.
Yeah, well, I was saying earlier on I mentioned to Olivia O'Leary earlier on my memories of seeing her on The Late Late Show, and I'm sure you have those memories as well, Mary. And you'd be sitting there with your mouth open going, where has this, you know, minute person come from who is not afraid of anybody and who is really turning over tables here?
I'll always remember her for all of the wonderful things, but she was really, really funny too. But all of those situations on The Late Late Show and reading her books and reading her articles in the newspaper. But she did a concert in the women's in the teacher centre in Parnell for
for International Women's Day, and my band was men. And she said, what are you bringing them in here for? And I said, there's no point in this, even more segregation. They're just men, hell, you know. They'll be grand, you know. She says, well, they haven't seen everything yet. And with that, when I was thinking I wanted to be seduced, she whipped off her jumper in front of the stage.
You see? Never afraid to shock.
Never, ever, ever. Like, she just... I'm not going to say a bad word on that. She just did it. I'll remember her for that and for all of the other wonderful, wonderful things. I remember when Ivana was going through that whole thing in the court when she was, you know, the Trinity student thing. Nell was everywhere. She was always everywhere. And I always remember her with Margaret Darcy and Eamon McCann. And these people taught me everything I know. Nell taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, she taught a lot of us, you know, an awful lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Mary, thank you for reminding me. I mean, she was so supportive when we were threatened with jail for giving information on abortion to a group of students in 1989. And I do just want to say, very sadly, this week, one of those 14 students, one of the group of us taken to court from Trinity, UCD and the National Union, Stephen Grogan, has sadly died this week as well. So, you know, we remember him too. But Nell was, as you say, Mary, as you were, incredibly supportive of us. And again, that was a time when it was deeply controversial. The majority of political and public opinion was against the students. And I'm still so proud that we stood up to the then state and insisted that women needed information. Women in crisis pregnancy needed to get access to information on where they could obtain legal abortions in Britain, and Nell was steadfast in her support.
Yeah,
as we were Mary and a few others.
That's the way we remember her, and I'll, you know, rave on, Nell, rave on, rave on.
All right, well, Mary Coughlin and Ivana Bacik, thank you both for joining us and for speaking so warmly about Nell McCafferty, who we remember today.